Aren't you glad that you're in the hands of Almighty God, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ? I was reminded as we're singing that song that I sung many years ago as a child. Some of you might as well. But I'm reminded of the verse that talks about the follower of Christ, that no one can pluck us out of the hands of God. Aren't you thankful for that truth this morning? And so what a reminder of that truth found in Scripture that was just referenced in the song that we just sung. And so just take that to heart. It was blessed my heart. I hope it will bless your heart as well. Well, as you might recall, last week we were back all the way to last year, right? And so we are celebrating 2024 coming to a close and looking forward to the new year and all that means and the fresh start that can bring and the new opportunities and such leading into 2025. And we talked about what most of us do every year, which is to make resolutions, right? And we talked about what would be a worthy resolution for 2025, which is to glorify the Lord. But of course, we know that that's a worthy resolution or worthy goal for each and every year of our life, because that is our purpose. In fact, this past week, as I was reading what is a new devotional for 2025, I was so blessed by one of the devotionals that talked about the importance. Our chief goal, it went on to say, as a follower of Christ, is to bring glory to God. And so our desire is to do that, bring glory to God. It's our purpose, it's our chief goal, is to bring glory to the Lord. Now, as this is the first Sunday of 2025, wanted to touch on us looking forward to this coming year. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I'm just surviving. Anybody feel like that from time to time? You're just making it. You're just getting there. You're just getting by. But we want to not just survive, but we want to thrive. And so the title of this message, I couldn't help myself, how to thrive in 2025. Forgive me, but I couldn't help myself. Ways to thrive in 2025. I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Ephesians 3, verses 20 through 21. And so that will be our theme verse, our launching verse, because I believe that the Lord wants us to thrive in our spiritual walk. And in Ephesians 3, verses 20 through 21, we're reminded, now to Him, referring to our Lord, who was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we come before You as followers of Jesus Christ, so grateful and thankful for a passage just like this that shows us, according to Your Word, that we don't just have to survive, we don't just have to get by, but we can thrive in our spiritual walk, for You desire for us in a relationship with You by Your mighty power and by Your mighty strength to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So that, O Father, You will be glorified in our generations and in the generations to come, Lord willing, if You do tarry. And so, Father, O Lord, as we take this to heart, we pray, O Father, that we, as we reflect upon Your principles, will be reminded of how we can thrive and live abundantly in our walk with the Lord. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to simply look at three biblical principles, I believe, that will allow us to thrive in our spiritual walk with the Lord. First principle that I think is so crucial for us as believers in Christ is that we have a longing for the Lord. We have a longing for the Lord. We long for the Lord. Reminded of the importance of this spiritual truth as we reflect upon what is the greatest commandment found in the Word of God. It starts back in the Old Testament in passages such as Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, which reminds us that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This commandment is also repeated in the New Testament. We find this in the Gospels. Both Matthew, Mark, and Luke record this statement. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Verse 28 of Matthew chapter 22 goes on to say, this is the first and the great commandment. So it begins right there, with our love for the Lord, as we long for the Lord. The psalmist described what this looks like when we see Psalm 42, verses 1 through 2. It goes on to say, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. See, this love is developed, and there's a longing, there's a desire, there's a satisfaction, there's a fulfillment that only comes from our relationship with the Lord. And you might be thinking to yourself as we reflect and read passages such as this, that might not be where we're at right now. We love the Lord, but do we have that longing? Do we have that desire for the Lord as the psalmist declared that passion, that absolute need to be in the presence of Almighty God? Maybe you're not there right now. Maybe you don't have an appetite or a craving or a desire such as that right now. But you can develop an appetite for those things. I'm reminded of the fact that maybe you can relate to the fact that maybe you didn't always like vegetables all of your life. Anybody relate to that? But maybe you've come to a point in your life where you do enjoy vegetables if it's properly made, right? Some can relate to the fact, I remember when I was a child, that the mere thought of coffee was atrocious to me. I couldn't understand how the adults drank coffee, right? And so I found out as an adult that I would need coffee. In fact, I know each morning I crave it. I need it. I have a desire for it. I have an appetite for it. Now, I will admit I do doctor it up. I'm just going to be honest with you and confess. I do doctor it up. But over time, I've developed an appetite, a craving, and a desire. And most every morning, I start my day with a cup of coffee. Anybody relate to that? Some, maybe a cup of tea, I don't know. But certainly, maybe that's not where you're at yet. There's always room for improvement. We can develop an appetite, a craving, a desire for spending time in the presence of the Lord and for the things of the Lord. It can grow. Psalm 34, verse 8 reminds us, so taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Spend time in His presence, and that desire will increase. In order for that to take place, I believe that we have to demonstrate a little bit of discipline in our lives. I believe that we have to make the disciplined decision to prioritize the Lord and to spend time in His presence. And as we will do so, I believe that an appetite will be increased, a desire for the Lord will increase. And then we can resonate the fact that that is our desire. Matthew 6, verse 21 reminds us, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. All we have to do to find out what our treasure is to figure out where we spend our resources, right? Where do we spend our time? Where do we spend our money? What is the things that matter so much to us? We'll prioritize the things that matter to us, and we'll reveal what is very important to us. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. May we strive to seek the Lord and spend time in His presence and have a greater appetite, a craving, a desire to be with the Lord and to serve the Lord. So as we strive to thrive in 2025, I believe once again that it begins with longing for the Lord. I also believe that we ought to live a life that will lead to spiritual legacy. Now, when we talk about legacy, it's a big topic, for example, in finances. It's a big topic as far as what one will leave in their will and inheritance of that sort. It's a very important topic in our culture today. In fact, the Oxford Dictionary defines legacy as an amount of money or property that is left to someone in a will. But it goes on to have a secondary definition as it defines legacy as a long-lasting impact of a particular event, actions, or otherwise that took place in the past or a person's life. In other words, it makes an impact. It has influence. It is a lasting legacy. My prayer is that we will live in such a way that we will leave behind a spiritual legacy. I had a wonderful conversation with Dan Conkright just a couple days ago. He and Wander are up in Michigan. His dad passed away recently, and so the funeral will be taking place this week. And so we had an opportunity to talk, and he gave me permission to share this. That was a wonderful story of legacy, and so he shared with me that I could share with you this, but he talked about the impact that his dad had made upon his life. See, many years ago, his dad received a New Testament Bible, and it was near and dear to his heart that the family had given him. But lo and behold, Dan was getting ready to go to the military, and he had joined the Coast Guard, and so he was going to make his way into the real world, if you will. And so his dad passed along that New Testament to Dan. And Dan has had that New Testament for 40 years now. What a blessing. What an impact. What a legacy. I pray that you and I will leave behind a spiritual legacy, a spiritual inheritance. Proverbs 13:22 goes on to say, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Now, it's a beautiful thing to leave an inheritance with some physical wealth and provision and things of that nature to your children or to your children's children. But how much greater is it to leave an eternal inheritance to your children and to your children's children? Psalm 103, verse 7, he goes on to say, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children. In other words, you can have a spiritual legacy long beyond your life. As you invest in your children, as you invest in your grandchildren, the spiritual legacy can continue long after you and I are in heaven. The spiritual legacy can continue and can remain. But it comes with a choice. We have many choices and decisions to make in this life, don't we? It comes in with a choice. What will we invest our lives in? What will we choose to do? How will we choose to live our life in a spiritual way that can influence the ones that we loved and those around us in a godly way? Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 through 9 reminds us of the importance of making a choice. As you might recall, it's Joshua who is preparing to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And he has a choice to make. It's a time where there's going to be a new beginning, if you will. It's going to be a new chapter in the life of the children of Israel. And he goes on to say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be a frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And so this is the instruction that is given to the children of Israel. But the choice was made preceding that. And that comes from Joshua 24, verse 15, which goes on to say, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so the decision, the choice is made and is followed by discipleship. That is a life of spiritual legacy. May we live a life of spiritual legacy as we invest, once again, in the ones that we loved and those that we have influence upon. And as we engage in discipleship, as God allows us to be part of that discipleship effort. So this morning, as we desire to thrive once again in 2025, it begins once again with longing for the Lord. It continues as we live a life of legacy for the Lord. And another issue that I believe is close to the heart of the Lord is the importance of loving the lost. If you want to have the heart of God, you're going to love the lost just as He loved the lost. Luke 19, verse 10 goes on to say, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." During His earthly ministry, Jesus had that heart. He desired to see people come to repentance. He was moved with compassion as He saw the lost, the hurting, and those who needed Him. In fact, He pursued relationships with those who were downcast and outcast of society, and He desired for them to come to Him, receive salvation. It was Jesus who would challenge the religious leaders on many occasions. Remember, as they came in and had issue with the people that He would associate and spend time with, and He would challenge them and He would respond to them and say things such as this: "Those who are well have no need of physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance," according to Matthew 9, verses 12 through 13. So I believe that when we have the heart of God, we'll have a heart for the lost. We'll have compassion for those that are going through difficult times, those that are downcast, those who are outcast, those who truly need the Lord. Our heart should be moved with compassion and love for them. See, as we realize the great love of God that He has for us, and realize His wonderful, matchless grace that He's bestowed upon us, and how He has saved us from sin and the consequences of sin, when we come to that understanding, and a desire to see the lost saved as well. It's the Apostle Paul that shows us what that looks like. Remember, the Apostle Paul understood what it looked like, or understood what it was to be like to be lost. He had been a religious leader. He had had a lot of zeal. He had thought that what he was doing pleased God. But yet he come to a point where an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his life changes, and he realizes the great sinner that he was and had been, the great sin that he had done. But he comes to an understanding of the wonderful grace of Almighty God, and the understanding of how he had been gloriously transformed. He understands that now he has a desire to see others transformed as he had been gloriously transformed. 1 Timothy 1 through 15 through 16 is a passage in which he's reflecting this truth under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say in 1 Timothy 1, verses 15 through 16, that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. So he was hit with the fact that God had been patient with him, that God had loved him, that God had demonstrated His mercy upon him, that God had demonstrated His grace upon him. And so now he wanted to see others, experience that as well. As we talked about last week, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18 reminds us that we have been reconciled to Jesus Christ, and then He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Mark 16, verse 15 goes on to command us. We talked about a great command, but another great command is this, that we share the gospel, as the Great Commission reminds us, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So how do we do that? Well, we just concluded a campaign, the Lottie Moon offering, which is an opportunity to do an offering above and beyond the regular tithes and offerings that sends forth missionaries to the world. We have participated in another offering in the Easter season, Annie Armstrong offering, that once again will focus on mission endeavors, specifically to North America and the missionaries and the church planters that are sent all throughout this continent. And so that's an opportunity we can generously give so that the kingdom of God can be advanced. But it's no excuse for us not to participate in the opportunities God has given us as well. Oh, He might call you to worldwide missions, and if He does so, then you should follow His lead. But to be honest, we've got quite a mission field right here in our country, don't we? And in our community. And where we are, there we have the opportunity to make an impact and influence and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who need it. We can share the gospel through our words, but we can also share the gospel with our deeds. In fact, many times it is our testimony that speaks louder than our words. As we're reminded, we're to let our light so shine before men that they may see the good works and that they may glorify our Father who is in heaven. That worthy resolution can be lived out in our lives as He enables us and empowers us to be a light to those who are in darkness. He has called us to the privilege and the blessing of being part of the ministry of reconciliation. There's a blessing associated with evangelism and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. As Proverbs 11, verse 30 says, "And he who wins souls is wise." So let me ask you something. As we are beginning this new year of 2025, what is the Lord laying on your heart in regards to your relationship with Him? Do you desire to have a closer walk with Him in this year than you have had in the past? That should be all of our desire as followers of Jesus Christ, to increase in our faith and for our walk with the Lord to be closer than ever before. Maybe that's your prayer. Maybe that's your desire. I pray that's your heart. Well, how are you going to go about developing that appetite and that desire? Some practical advice, I guess you would say, is to simply find ways in which you spend more time in His presence. Do you have a devotional time in which you read the Word of God and ask Him to speak to you through His Word? Do you have time set aside in which you pray to the Lord? Do you have time in your schedule in which you find creative ways by way of Christian music or by way of additional biblical teaching to receive the truths of God's Word and to fill your mind with what honors Him, glorifies Him, and draws you closer to Him? We all have room for improvement, don't we, as followers of Jesus Christ? We're also reminded that it's not just about us. Many are dependent upon us. They are looking to us to see what does it look like to live a life of faith. What does it look like to walk with the Lord? Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's your coworkers. Maybe it's your schoolmates. Whoever it may be, your circle of influence. Let me ask you something. Are you living in such a way that you're living a legacy of faith for others? Do you invest in others? Because other people are all that will really matter at the end of time. Only the people that we have ministered to and the things that we have done for the Lord at the end of the day and time is going to matter, is going to last. Only what is done for Christ will last. Which reminds us, do you have a burden for the lost? Are you moved with compassion when you see someone that does not know Christ? When you see someone that is far away from the Lord, that is maybe living a worldly lifestyle, that is maybe living a lifestyle of sin, do you feel a sense of judgment or do you feel a sense of compassion for the lost? Remind in John chapter 3, 16 goes on to talk about for God so loved the world. John chapter 3, verse 17 reminds us that He did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The Lord's desire is for all people to come to repentance and a relationship with Him. Is that your desire? Is that my desire? Let us pray. Father, we come before You this morning. We're so thankful for the opportunities that You give us each and every day to serve You, to walk with You, to live for You. We pray, O Lord, that as we continue this new year, that You will help us, O Father, to grow closer to You. We know, Father, that we have a close relationship with You, that it does certainly bring glory to You. We know, Father, that when we serve You and live in such a way that others may come to You or be strengthened and discipled in their faith, that it brings glory to You. We know, Father, that You said in Your Word that when someone comes to You by repentance, that all of heaven rejoices, which brings glory to You. So we as followers of Jesus Christ, we're asking, O Lord, that You help us to simply live our life in a way that brings glory to You in all the ways we have discussed this morning. And we're praying, O Lord, that if there is even one person that has never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they will do so today. For that, O Lord, we know will bring glory to Your name. So, Father, we now turn this invitation time over to You and ask, O Lord, that Your mighty Spirit of God work in and through our lives to bring about Your glory. So we dedicate this time to You. In Jesus' name, amen.